We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Thank you for tuning in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming at you live on a Thursday as the Avs sit 3-2 against the St. Louis Blues on an off day, travel day back to St. Louis. Obviously, the collapse in Game 5 is still very much a bad taste in a lot of Avalanche fans' mouth. So we decided we'd take maybe another look at it and what it means going forward in the series for the Avs. So, AJ, it's been 13 hours, 14 hours, 15 hours. How we feeling?
I mean, you can't feel good.
I mean, I think you can feel okay, but you still feel like that game was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you feel like, yeah. I mean, it's still a disaster. It's still, it was just such an epic collapse. It's such a big moment, you know, like, especially with their own, like, personal demons considered. It was a big gut punch. And that's the thing, though, is that, you know, I compared it a little bit to Game 7 against Dallas, but you know what's different about them? It was Game 5.
Exactly right.
So
they get to go and do it again.
Yeah, and push comes to shove, like, in my heart of hearts, do I think that St. Louis is going to beat the Avs 3 games in a row on home ice in Denver? I don't. And I guess that makes me feel better. it sucked. Like, it sucked. It was just such a waste of a great performance from Nathan MacKinnon.
For sure.
But also, does that wake Nathan MacKinnon up? Like, you probably don't get a 4-point night out of him tomorrow in St. Louis, but if you get a goal and an assist out of him,
and a hockey team that doesn't collectively just drop the ball in the third period.
Well, and maybe you get maybe Cale Makar does something in the series for once, you know, like he hasn't really done much. And maybe Darcy Kemper like all eyes are now fully on him. Yeah, everything, for sure. Everything in this Avalanche postseason had been McKinnon and McCarr and Landeskog and, you know, the team as a whole. You know, Nazem Kadri obviously ended up in the spotlight quite a bit. And now more than ever, Darcy Kuemper is squarely in the spotlight here.
Yep.
He is now like the man up front. If anybody needs a bounce back game, obviously,
yeah.
McCarr, Mikko, it would be great if those guys would actually show up in the series and do anything. But Darcy Kuemper, let's be real here. The Avs can continue to survive Mikko Rantanen just not being very productive.
Yep.
And I don't think they'll survive much if Cale Makar does not play to a certain level. But Darcy Kuemper more than any of them needs the bounce back. He needs the strong performance.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And you know, there's definitely some scars there too with the complete collapse of Philip Grubauer, particularly in game 6. Last season of the second round.
Well, when we're talking about complete collapses that cost them series.
Yep.
Like Michael Hutchinson was admirable against Dallas until he just couldn't stop anything in game 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Like it is what it is, but yep. This was a game 5 loss. They've got two more cracks at it if they need. They can absolutely roll in to St. Louis, refocus, get back to it, and do what they did in games 3 and 4. They won both games in St. Louis in the series.
I think, and we'll talk about this more later in the show, but the part of what I do want to impress on people is do remember the first 40 minutes of that hockey game too, where even with maybe a lineup that isn't playing at their best, the Avs were doing just fine in that hockey game until they imploded.
Yeah.
That wasn't a beat down by St. Louis or anything.
Yeah.
So
it is like we talked about last night, like, oh my God, this was what a shit. Like they had a 3-1 lead going into the third period.
Yeah, the 3-goal lead in the game. They had a lead with less than 3 minutes left in the game. No one's going to come out here and tell you, oh, it's fine. That game was a disaster for the Avs.
Sure. But, like, there were certainly 40 minutes.
Yep. And some change.
I would say certainly, like, 35 minutes. Maybe 30.
I would say
you're like, dude.
There's 30 minutes that were good. There's 10 that you live with, and then there's the third period.
Okay. I'm cool breaking it down like that, because when you have a 3-0 lead, I saw a lot of people being like, oh, after they got 3-0, up 3-0, they stopped caring or whatever. And it was like, well, when they got up 3-0, and then when they didn't score on the power play, St. Louis, that's when St. Louis started building.
Well, and like, not to discount St. Louis either. You're down 3 goals. The game's half over, and this is it.
Yeah.
They lose. They go home.
Yeah. And like, as much as we're talking about the emotional swing for Colorado, like, St. Louis was in full empty the tank mode last night. And you're totally re-energized by the win. But just hypothetically speaking, there was a lot spent last night.
It does feel a little bit like the Avs round one series against Nashville. Obviously not to the same level, but the Avs come back in game 5. They get the guts call. And then game 6, it was just like, well, all right, run's over.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, we'll see. It's obviously like you could. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk ourselves into this is the end of the world. And then we're going to talk ourselves into, look, it's fine.
This is fine.
It's going to be fine. In the next couple of segments, because it seems like there are only extremes from here.
Yep. It's interesting because I am curious how people will view game five of this series in the future. If the Avs win the series, I think it's pretty straightforward. No one remembers game five ever. Everyone goes, hey, remember that time Mac got a hat trick and the Avs still lost in the playoffs?
Like, mostly it gets remembered because we didn't get to have the coronation of Nathan MacKinnon as that next level superstar.
Yeah. But if the Avs lose the series, I do wonder if people will look at game five as the start of the failed existence, or if they'll look at game six and seven as couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, game five, we'll get into this. This is what the whole show is about.
For sure. For sure. We can talk about it. A couple of ground rule level stuff here with the game. I don't know how. Well, maybe you can be upset with Nathan MacKinnon in this game, AJ, as we go into the doomer side. But I'm kind of excluding Nathan MacKinnon from the conversation on either side, because it's like, look, dude scored a hat trick. Dude stepped up. Dude was the one guy on the ice that did everything you could ask him to do.
Yeah.
So it is what it is when it comes to Nathan MacKinnon. Not gonna lump him in with the rest of the team on this one, because I think he stood out so much in either direction. All right. What did you want to start with, the doom side or the positive side?
Well, I put it in there.
Oh, did you? The order, I think. Let me see. Pull it up.
We're going to start with the doomers.
All right. Doom first. So we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. If you're getting ready to experience some doom, maybe make sure you're sipping on a Breck brew. So, you know, it's all in a good thought experiment. The reality of the doom hasn't been made yet, the same way the reality of the optimism hasn't been made yet. That is for the future to decide. You can get Breck Brew at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it at a local place near you. We're also brought to you by Evoca TV. You can go to evoca.tv/DNVR to get TV for just $15 a month for the first 3 months and only $25 a month after that. If you're in the Denver metro area, it has Altitude, it has AT&T Sportsnet, it has the national channels, so you can watch whatever sporting events you want as far as the local teams are concerned, and they've got you totally covered top to bottom with TV access that actually just plugs right into your TV. It's a little box. It works just like a normal remote TV. You don't have to set up any weird streaming services or anything like that. Super easy and super effective to use. Again, that's evoca.tv/DNVR. Go check it out today. All right. Doomer side. Does it start with St. Louis is better than the Avs, or does it start with the Avs will never be able to get out of their own way?
Yeah, I think it starts with, I think it's going to start. I think if you're really doomering this up and you've decided this is done, it's really all about Darcy Kuemper. I think it starts with Kuemper. Yep. The fact that I don't want to call Ville Husso St. Louis's backup, because it's just not true.
He was their starter for the second half of the year. So
yeah. And like, yeah. But it's like Darcy Kuemper just hasn't been very good in the postseason. And we've talked about it all along. He's been good enough. It's been fine. But not once in the series. We're now five games into this series, and not once has he been great. Where you're like, man, Darcy's really had a really, really good night. Hasn't been bad. It's not like we've been talking about him every single night and being like, my gosh, where's Darcy Kuemper? You know, we've talked a lot about, hey, he's had a handful of goals go in on him that were some horse shit. Yeah. And you look at the Avs were getting by. Darcy Kuemper was giving up. You go through game one. He gives up that goal to O'Reilly off the double bounce that ends up with an O'Reilly breakaway. And then the Jordan Kyrou power play jailbreak that was absolutely just a terrible goal to give up.
It's the concern with Darcy is that maybe he just can't win the Colorado Avalanche a playoff game. And it's not that he hasn't played good enough to win. It's that he hasn't stolen a game in this series. Well, you haven't seen him get to that level.
To be frank, like the Avalanche haven't been so badly outplayed in any one game that they haven't needed it
for sure.
Like in St. Louis's best game in game two, they just weren't, like, the Blues were not overwhelmingly better. And two of those goals are deflected in off of Avalanche sticks. And the third one is David Perron just beating him on the glove on a 2-on-1. Like, and that's the best that the Blues played in the series, beginning to end of a game. That was their best, like, end-to-end game. And, like, before last night, Kuemper had not been bad in the series. There's all this retconning of how Kuemper has played going on because last night was just terrible for him. Of all the Avs that were bad in the third period, he was the worst.
For sure.
And he was the most important one that had a bad third period. But
in the series, Kuemper has two of five games with a save percentage over .920. He has one in the .900s and he has two below .900.
So he's been fine.
Yep. Good. Not great.
And last night will be disastrously bad and will skew all of his stats for the rest of the series.
Yep.
Because he just hadn't been really good or really bad before then. He had been fine. And now all of a sudden he goes from he's just kind of cruising along. Just doing his thing, and now he's in the spotlight. He's like big bright light is now on Darcy Kuemper. And
thank you for the 280, Jake. We appreciate it. You're awesome. That is the concern, right? He's in the spotlight. We saw a goaltender that couldn't live up to the moment in the third period of game five. And the fear is that he's never going to live up to the moment.
Where's all this Binnington stuff coming from? They ruled him out for the series like days ago.
Yeah, he's not gonna play.
I know that. I think he was skating and it was like the same thing. Like, oh, is Torrey Krug coming back because he was on the ice for practice, but didn't participate in it. Like, I guess I don't want to be the guy that's like, this is absolutely not happening when I don't have any information about it. But teams don't generally rule players out of a series unless they know for sure, like, this guy is not
also
think about Nashville
playing.
They never ruled Saros out of that series, and there was no chance he was playing in that thing.
The thing is, like, it's really hard for a goaltender with a lower body injury to just be like, I'm not 100%, but I'm coming back.
Yeah.
Because if a goalie does that, he gets shelled.
A guy skating and a guy being able to play in a game are completely different conversations.
Yep.
So I saw some of that last night and was like, I don't know where this is coming from, but this does not feel rooted in reality. The idea that this is the other thing that I know we've got Blues fans in here that don't have their own show to go hang out at and they want to revel in our pain or whatever. But the Jordan Binnington against the Avs in his career just hasn't been that
he's
good.
I would argue he's been bad.
We're not like a group of people that like fears Jordan Binnington.
Also, like, even the Jordan Binnington part of this series, Jordan Binnington lost game one, but okay.
Yeah. Man. He was fine. Like he was their best player.
But the two
games that he had played, but I mean, you're talking, he played two games and then 6 minutes.
But I mean, I guess if we're going full doomer, the Jordan Binnington injury was all a bait and switch, and he's healthy and he's playing like he's in 2019 again, right?
I mean, I think that's like everybody's like, oh, it's 2019 again, because Jordan Binnington had a good week of games.
Yep.
It's a pretty dramatic fucking leap, but it is what it is.
Look, sometimes you got to go back three full years to find the good week, AJ.
I'm like Jordan until there's something that suggests Jordan Binnington is actually even close to healthy enough to play, I'm not worrying about
it. It's hard to make that leap. Whereas it's less hard for the Avs fan base to make the leap of Darcy Kemper wilting in the limelight for an additional game or two.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, if you're the pessimist take on this is the Avs have Darcy Kemper can't beat Ville Husso. And Ville Husso hadn't been any good in the series. Like his best game, he gave up four goals last night.
Yep.
Got a little unlucky along the way. But as we've learned in this series, that's part of goaltending in the postseason, right?
It's a weird spot, especially for Kemper, because technically he hasn't clinched a series with Colorado. It was Pavel Francouz in at the end of the National Series.
Yeah.
Because of the injury to his eye. And look,
Blues fans in our chat going after Nighthawk is pretty fun.
Oh my god,
that's in the world. That is misdirected there, friend.
The Avs in the last decade have had good goaltenders fail to get them across the line.
Yeah,
not just Philip Grubauer. As we've seen, obviously, I mean, the Dallas series is a little more complicated with Michael Hutchinson in net, and you had Andrew Hammond at one point against Nashville, but you go all the way back to 13-14. Semyon Varlamov having an arguably Vezina caliber season gets lit up in game 7 for 5.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one that you really want was the last one too.
I mean, exactly the same truth as Darcy Kemper in this game 5.
Yeah.
The one you really wanted was the last one.
Yeah. I mean, you can live with all the other garbage, and the last one that you give us is just like, come on. I mean, the Nino, the overtime goal is way better than that bullshit from Bozak last night. But
yeah, I mean, the Bozak goal last night is a routine save in the NHL for every goaltender.
Yeah. So anyway, I think beyond Kemper, Cale Makar hadn't played well in the series. Mikko Rantanen hadn't played well in the series. Nathan MacKinnon has had one great game out of five. And, you know, because he's Nathan MacKinnon, you could talk yourself into, well, he can have another one. But it's not going to look like what it did last night, where that was an all-time great night. That was a singular effort for him. So I think that's where the doomers are out today and they were you know, where you feel bad today, not just in the result, but is now you have to go back to St. Louis, where they're going to be on their home ice. They're rejuvenated. They feel great, blah, 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 blah. And they win that game, and then they have all the momentum coming into game seven, and the Avs are, even though they're on home ice, they're as tight as they're ever going to be. All the pressure is on them. They're about to blow this thing. Oh, my God, this is happening again. Blah, 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 right? Like, I think that's the pessimist view. That's the doomer take, right? They are crashing into back into Earth, and this core group just can't get out of its own way. You know, when you need it the most, Cale Makar is the guy standing in front, losing the net front battle on the game tying goal. When you need it the most, your captain Landeskog is the one who can't get the empty net goal after getting the puck cleared out of the zone. When you need it the most, you know, it's a litany of failures by your best players. It's not like Darren Helm cost you something.
It's shrinking from the moment, right?
Absolutely. It's shrinking from the moment from your biggest stars, your leaders.
Yeah. And it goes beyond, I think, any individual player there. And the fear is the Avs don't get it back in gear. The fear is they're stuck in their own head. And they play like a hockey team that struggles to make basic fundamental plays.
That sloppy team from game two comes back, and now they lack confidence. Now they don't think that they can get it done. Now they don't, you know, it's all of the bad stuff happening all at once, and just, you know.
Look, sometimes when there's smoke, there's fire, right? If a team throws a hockey game away, maybe they're not as good as everyone thinks they are.
Yeah.
That's the doomer take.
Yeah.
And look, there are a million ways to lose a hockey game. It's not hard to find one. It's not hard to find ways to lose hockey games if you put yourself in that position. And from the doomer side of things, the Avs have zero track record of doing the thing in the second round. They have never, this core has never done it. Full stop.
Yeah. You've had guys on other teams who have done it, but this leadership group hasn't accomplished anything.
Yep.
That's just the reality of it.
It's true until they prove otherwise, right?
Yeah. It's on them to prove it. Like that's it.
Simple as that. Any other doomer side takes you want to add here, AJ?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could lightly touch on the coaching here. It gets brought up in the chat again that putting out the top line instead of a Nichushkin or a Lehkonen. I would have definitely not had Mikko Rantanen on the ice. I would have had Lehkonen personally, not Nichushkin, because I thought Nichushkin was having a really bad night. But I would have had Lehkonen over Rantanen. I was fine with Landeskog. I was fine with MacKinnon. I was good with those guys being on the ice in that situation. It's weird that this comes under fire. I say it's weird. Of course it comes under fire because everything got second guessed last night. But for the last like 3 years,
Bednar has gone with that.
Colorado's top line has ended games consistently. Defensive pairings have kind of moved around a little bit. But if there's one thing that Colorado's top line does really, really, really well, it's get out of its own zone. And
Mikko Rantanen made a play to end game four.
Yeah, made a great play in his own zone. The best play, that maybe the best play he's made all series.
Right.
For that empty net goal. And like they have always gone with that group. And my only real point of contention was it was Rantanen, because he was not going. And we had seen, I thought Lekkonen had a strong night. In a normal night where Nichushkin is playing the way that he normally does, I would say he should have been that guy. But so, he was having a bad night last night, and I was fine with him not being on the ice for it. I would have had Lekkonen.
Lekkonen was probably the best of the bunch defensively, which isn't saying a lot.
So,
and maybe the doomer take here is that Jared Bednar has established that he finishes games with his stars. He's going to live and die with his best players.
His best players are going to decide the games. And it's a little odd to me that that seems to be a controversial coaching decision, but
I agree with you, but the doomer take is maybe those dudes can't get it across the line.
I think the better doomer take is Mikko has played like shit all this entire series. Why do you keep doing this? Because there's proof in the pudding there. Like, I understand history and all that, but Mikko has not, like, Mikko Rantanen has not played well in 2 months. We haven't seen Mikko Rantanen play quality hockey outside of the odd shift here or there. And I thought he got I thought he had a better game four. I thought he was actually pretty solid in game four, but not Mikko Rantanen. And I just think it's more like,
I don't even know that it's that. I think the bigger doomer take that I saw on Twitter after the game.
Oh, see, I wouldn't. I shut that shit off.
A wise decision, yeah. But
there's no way.
The bigger take that I saw floating around was that the onus is on Jared Bednar for the Avs playing incredibly passive in the third period and ultimately caving.
And that's being a hostage of the moment because. Look, yeah, if you hate that strategy, then you hate that strategy in games three and four as well.
In which they executed it perfectly.
And really, like, up to I think through like 13 minutes or something last night, they had given up like four or five shots on goal.
It was shots were 3-3, like 10 minutes through the third period.
Nathan MacKinnon's not getting traded. Like,
but that's the we're in the doomer section, but we're at least trying to base it in reality.
Yeah, we're not. This isn't HF boards. This is the doomer part of the show, but this isn't HF boards.
The Avs wouldn't trade Nathan MacKinnon. Basically, the world would have to end for the Avs to trade Nathan MacKinnon.
Or he would have to tell them, I'm
never playing for you again. Yeah, like,
because he's coming into the last year of his deal, and if he refuses to sign a deal, then okay.
Like, and the Avs, when it comes down to it, if Nathan MacKinnon wants to be here, the Avs will pay him whatever.
Yeah,
literally, give him a blank check.
Yeah. So, even if they blow this series, I don't think Jared Bednar goes anywhere.
I agree. And I think that's the correct take.
I don't, at this point, man, I just don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I am
earnestly very, very tired about talking about firing Jared Bednar just because we've had this conversation 50 times this season.
Yeah. And he just signed an extension and, which, like we always say, coach contracts aren't real, but more than anything, it's that the team, as recently as November, felt strongly about giving him multiple years on a new deal.
Emo Rogue, is that what we're going with here on that name? I don't know.
You think that Nate is going to be sick of losing and not sign an extension? Sick of losing.
Will this hurt enough to stop the turtle idea? Let's start here. We'll get to that conversation in a second. So, yeah, you have to understand, in my mind, the difference between games 3, 4, and 5 in the third period is simply execution. If the Avs are managing the puck better and executing their zone exits, games 4 and 5 don't look that different in the third period.
Yeah, I mean, games 3 and 4 were like identical third periods,
and
they locked it down. They played super low event. They gave up very little quality, and they won pretty comfortably.
Yeah, and the difference in game 5 is the Avs tried to lock it down, but they were turning over pucks like hotcakes, and they couldn't get a save out of Darcy Kemper.
We said this on last night's show. If they go into St. Louis and they have a third period lead, and it's a 1-goal lead, 2-goal lead, whatever, and they lock it down and it looks like games 3 and 4, then you can look at games 3, 4, and 6 at that point,
and say, something
went really, really well in those games. Which one stands out as the weird one? And then all of the people wondering about, the Bender doesn't know what he's doing. Why are they approaching it this way? Why are they turtling or whatever? Like, if it wins them 3 games and it loses 1, like, which is the strategy is it fair to say that strategy doesn't work?
Also, you don't have to like the turtle. You can think that the turtle is a bad strategy and that it doesn't fit the Avs well or whatever you want. But historically in the NHL, every single team ever in the history of the league gets a 2-goal lead in the third period and they shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the champs. You look at the 2-time champs and back in the conference finals. You think they had their foot on the gas with their 1-goal lead, with their lead in against Florida? Do you think against Tampa Bay? Or I'm sorry, against Toronto in round 1? Like Tampa Bay's turtles. The difference is that they've got Vasi and nobody else in the world does.
Yep. Look at Tampa finishing the sweep against Arizona. Shots were 7-27 in that game at one point. Florida, obviously. But still, it's not uncommon.
Everybody turtles.
Yeah.
Like this dude, the Avs turtled and they lost. It's not a good strategy. Okay. Then your argument is that when they won in games 3 and 4, it was not a good strategy either.
Yep.
And if you consistently live in the world of it's just a bad strategy, that's fine. But when it works time and time and time and time and time and time again in the postseason, it's hard to make that argument. It genuinely is.
$2 from Ace saying good luck to both sides. Fun times. And as we transfer into our optimist outlook here, we are brought to you by Lightshade. You can get your THC and CBD needs down at any of the 11 Lightshade locations in the Denver metro area. Use the DNVR code. You can get to 25% off on products that are not already marked down, including Wanna Sleep Aids, which I really wish I had some of last night. I barely slept at all. It was unfortunate, but that's the way things go. When you don't have your Wanna Sleep Aids at the ready, you can take them and they start acting in 10 to 15 minutes to put you to sleep nice and easy. Highly recommend you go check out not just Wanna, but everything at Lightshade for your THC and CBD stuff. 25% off is just a bonus on top. You can order online at lightshade.com for pickup. So, the start of the optimist conversation is very simple. The Avs are still leading this series.
Yeah. They have 2 more chances to close out the series, one of which will be on home ice if necessary.
Yep. They have won more games than they have lost in this series. They get to go again at clinching the series. The Avs get another, even if they lose on Friday, St. Louis doesn't eliminate them.
Yeah.
It's the Avs have played well enough in this series that they put themselves in a really good spot to where they could afford to lose a game. Now, no doubt, the way the Game 5 loss happened sucks. But
you can't take that with you. And the positive take is, look, you wake up, it's a new day, it's a new opportunity to exercise your demons. They're going to get three kicks at this can if they need them. They got to like the finish line. Like I don't know I don't know how to make this a proper analogy, but they like stubbed the toe just before they kicked the can.
Yep.
Last night, and that's it. Like, okay, they didn't get it done last night, but the positives that you pull, they once again outplayed St. Louis by a pretty significant margin through most of that game. Yep.
Mac deserved to punch every player post game. Thank you for the 280, Johnny.
Emotionally, you can easily talk yourself into, okay, St. Louis emptied the emotional tank there to come back. And they just may not have enough left in him to, you know, they might just come out flat in game six because, as you alluded to the Colorado-Nashville series a few years ago, Colorado had that big emotional comeback, stole a game at the end.
And that was all there was.
They got thoroughly outplayed. And then the very next game, the better team came out and on the road and just said, we're not doing this anymore. And suplexed the Avs on their own ice and just dropped it. And we're like, we're just the better team. That's it. Well,
and here's the exciting part. It took an all-time comeback for St. Louis to win this game in overtime when, again, you had everyone but Nathan MacKinnon struggling.
Yeah.
Pick three players. I don't even know that it matters which three on the Avs. Pick three players. You're good. If they have a better game. Like, pick the fourth liners. If they don't get completely crushed all night, you probably win the game. Pick really, any defenseman. Pick Darcy Kuemper,
man. Yep. Like, if you take any of Eric Johnson, Cale Makar, Devon Taves,
yep,
three guys who have been excellent for you in this postseason. Any of those three play better, you win last night.
Yep. Nathan MacKinnon, you're right. You're probably not going to get as good of a game from him as you got.
But the thing about Nathan MacKinnon is that you may not get that. Like, that was like
something else. It was something else.
That was like the star of star stuff, right? Yeah. But this is a guy who has made a regular habit of being a stud in the postseason. It's not like him going out there and having a 2 or 3 point night is an unrealistic thing. He could easily go back. I don't want to say easily, like the game is easy, but I mean, like, given his history, it is not hard to just be like, could absolutely get that done. He could absolutely have two or three points, and any other line gives them anything. Any other defenseman gives them anything.
My dog might have just knocked something over, so give me 30 seconds, but AJ, there are a lot of avenues to success here for Colorado. I would argue a lot more than avenues to failure.
I would agree. I mean, when you look at who played well down the stretch last night, it's really not hard to be like, God, a lot of key guys really just were not great. Just not great at all. And for me, like, Mikko Rantanen hasn't played well the entire postseason. This might just be that year where he's just not any good. And if the team's going to have success, they just got to drag that guy through it. But since we're doing the optimist take on it, it's time. It's time. Somebody is going to have an adult conversation with Mikko Rantanen and wake his ass up. And if you turn around and you get a great Mikko Rantanen game in game six, you feel pretty good about winning your chances of winning it. If you get Cale Makar to bounce back, not even and have like a superstar game, but if Cale Makar just has a good game, you feel pretty good about your chances of winning it. And if any of those things happen at the same time, a good MacKinnon game, a good Rantanen game, a good Makar game, a good Devon Taves game, you feel pretty good about your chances of winning. And if you get a good Darcy Kuemper game, you feel really good about your chances of winning it. Like, there are so many different things, the different elements of the team that you can say they don't even have to take like a huge leap. Now, Rantanen has the most room for improvement there, but not even a huge leap, just be a little bit better.
So
you feel like there are a lot of different things to believe in. And emotionally, we talked, I had mentioned earlier, St. Louis might have just emptied the tank. On the flip side, instead of it being like, oh, poor us, we're going to find out how the team has matured. Yeah. Because
how mentally tough are they?
If the Avalanche come out and they're angry and they're like, we're not fucking doing this.
Yep.
We had that. We gave this shit to you guys. We're taking it back. We're ending this and we're moving on. If they do that, all these conversations about leadership and, oh, are they mature enough? Are they whatever, end. Because if they come out and it is not even hard to believe that it's something that could happen, that they could go out and they could just be like, all right, well, we dropped 3 on them in the first period and we just feel, you know, now we're in control of the game. And we think given a 3-goal lead for the second straight game, we think we can get this one done.
Yep. It's the first half of game 5 should not be forgotten. The Avs were the significantly better team through the first 30 minutes of that hockey game. And I'm not saying the Avs deserved the win. They absolutely did not deserve to win game 5, but
I don't want to get into this shit. This deserve to win, deserve to lose. Does St. Louis deserve to win because they managed to put 12 shots on goal in the last like 35 minutes of the game? Fuck all that, man. Deserve to win. I'm not.
That's not the conversation I'm trying to get to here anyway. So it's fine. The conversation I'm trying to get to is, you have every reason to believe that the Avs are capable of winning against this team. One, because they've done it 3 times, but 2, because even in game 5, even in the collapse, the Avs had a 3-goal lead.
Yeah.
If game 5 was a 5-1 blowout where St. Louis was in the driver's seat the whole time, you start to wonder, boy, the Avs weren't even close to clinching. It's hard to get much closer to clinching and not clinch than the Avs did in game 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, we already talked about the mental toughness of, yes, they do have to come back and stay there. But the Avs have proven that they've taken it all the way to the brink. It's not a very big step to get it over the line. It's not like it's going to take some Herculean effort to do it.
Who cares if they get close? Comes from the same person who just said the first 30 minutes of last night don't matter. Then you're of the opinion, you would have to be of the opinion then that St. Louis is the dominant team, is in total control of the series, and is in the driver's seat.
Which I'm not, but...
Which would be, I think, a crazy take. It would be a really big leap, in my opinion.
I also don't know, like, getting close doesn't mean nothing. Obviously not the result that anyone wants. No one's happy with close.
Well, and again, getting close in a game 7, I would agree with you. It's not really that neat. Good for you. It's game 5.
Right. The Avs came close in game 5, and they get game 6, and if needed, game 7 to get there. And look, if St. Louis beats the Avs 3 games in a row and the Avs go home, tip your cap, because you got beat.
Well, in the same way that we did last year, Vegas beat the Avs. They just beat them. There's no bullshit there. There's no... Not talking about any caveats. There's no asterisks. He's got beat.
But let's not pretend that St. Louis doesn't have a mountain to climb of their own here. Sure, maybe momentum is in their favor. But
yeah, for the moment. But that's as soon as the next game starts, it doesn't really continue. Yep. That stuff doesn't really get you, because are any of the guys on the ice going to still be feeling game five? The second that game six gets started, or is it going to be like, oh, well, game five, we had all the momentum, right?
Based on the rest of this season, the Habs have been extremely good at living in the game that they're playing.
Yeah, well, and not stringing together losses.
Yep.
Responding to games in which they haven't played well, or haven't finished, haven't had the right result.
And I do think the end of the season is an extremely interesting case study in this. A time in which the Avs did lose a bunch of games in a row. The team they stepped up and beat in that stretch was the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. more of a fun fact than meaningful.
Not super relevant, but yeah. I just throwing it out there.
It's not meaningful, but it was fun. I just think that, look, like, the first 5 minutes of the next game are going to be really important, because if the Blues do come out, you know, both barrels and they're firing and they build a lead, then the series does start to take on a different look. But look, Colorado's the better team still. They're the more talented team. The ball was in their court.
There's a reason they're the favorites. There's a reason they're up 3-2 in the series.
Right. There's a reason that they had various leads last night throughout the game. Like, there's a reason there. And you just have to recognize you had a chaotic ending that just didn't go your way. And you can't let that build. You just can't let that build.
I mean, yes, you don't want it to build, but we've seen the other side of this story with the Avs plenty. It is ridiculously hard to come back from a 3-2, let alone a 3-1 series deficit.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. It is so, so difficult to do that. And not downplaying the work the Avs have to do, the fact that they need to go out there and play well, but throwing out St. Louis has the momentum and using that to write off the mountain that team still has to climb,
mm-hmm.
also not really the real story there.
Yeah. And it was brought up to me last night. I'd forgotten about it, but 2001 Avs team did this.
Yeah, they went all the way to seven.
They had 3-1 lead over LA. The Kings, and the Kings were great, and then couldn't finish it off in Game 7 in Denver.
It took Peter Forsberg imploding his spleen.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah,
that was tough. So it's not the point. Here is Colorado still has two chances to finish this thing off, and St. Louis. It takes a lot of energy to do what they did last night. We see that teams are able to do things like what they did last night and run out of gas a whole lot more often than we see a team that does what they did last night and then do it two more times.
Yeah. It's a real tall ask. And
it's just hard to do. It's really, really hard to do. And when you get into the, you know, when you're being honest about the talent level involved in the series, like,
it's advantage Colorado on paper. Full stop.
Yeah. The Avs are still the better team. And to be honest, they've outplayed St. Louis at 5-on-5 quite a bit. And since we're in the optimist section of this, look, PK was great last night.
Special teams were excellent. It took, even with all of the collapsing the Avs did, it took a empty net 6-on-5 goal to get this game to overtime.
Yeah. And then it took the overtime winner was the kind of goal that you're probably not going to get again in the series.
Yeah. So
also, like, as and we'll, I'll touch a little bit on Puklik here. The Avs got a little bit of it last night, but you also saw two different goals that the Avs could have easily scored where Villejuso was beat and the puck hits a dude next to him.
Yep.
Ryan O'Reilly early in the game and Robert Bortuzzo in overtime, where it looks like Huso gets beat by those shots and the puck hits the guy just next to him.
And I don't like, from the optimist side of things, I'm not going to be here keeping a scoreboard of who's had the better of the puck bounces in the series. The bounces don't matter anymore. Go out and the better team can win the hockey game. And
I don't know how you could possibly believe that the bounces don't matter more. When you run out of runway in games, the bounces matter more.
The bounces are out of your control, though. And this is a
That is true.
This is like, a hockey team.
Will be what the bounces will be.
This Avalanche team, as are the Blues, both in full control of their destiny. Forget the bounces. Go out and win a hockey game. You get two more chances to do it in this round if you're the Avs.
Yeah, and like you do, just do everything and take care of what you can take care of. And if you lose to bad bounces, then that's the game sometimes.
Yeah.
Like that's just how it goes, as we've seen in this series. So that's just how it goes. But the bounces don't matter is not something you're ever going to sell me on. Just have to live with how they go.
I'm not in that locker room. I'm not going to pretend to know the things that push everyone's buttons. I'm not going to pretend to know exactly what they need to hear. But I don't think a whole lot needs to be said. I think the Avs understand who they are. I think they understand what they're capable of.
Yeah.
And I think they know they need to just go out and do it.
They just have to live up to the best version of themselves and they'll be fine. If they do that, they're into round three. And then you have the next series of problems.
Yep.
Edmonton, Calgary, we'll see.
Yep.
Who knows?
All right. I'm sure there was a lot of copium, hopium, and whatever the negative version of those words are on this show. And the reality, of course, is these are the two poles, and it's probably somewhere in the middle, right?
I guess.
But at the end of the day, however you feel about it, there's a reason they play the games. I've said it a lot in these playoffs, but I think every hockey fan is here because somewhere along the way, they believe they're going to win this something cool, at least in the hockey games. If you didn't, why are you watching? And like, I mean this earnestly. Like, if you have a valid reason for watching, dope. Enjoy it. Or hate it, if that's what you want to do. Whatever you want to get out of it, get out of it. I don't know.
And if you're Tim Peel, is this the most relevant he's been since before he got fired and everybody hated him because he wasn't any good at his job?
Is he like how relevant is this now, like the, or then?
Now, I mean, is this like the great Tim Peel revival, like his renaissance of personality? He's like unleashed on social media where he's like, I can just do whatever I want now. Also retired. Homie put in his bio retired.
Yeah, that's a
we know the truth, bud.
Okay. Any final thoughts on this show, AJ, optimist or pessimist?
Today doesn't feel good. But you know, life is all about adversity. And it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. It's not the bad things that you go through in life. It's what you do with them. And that might be cliche and it might be hacky, but it's fucking true. Because there are a lot of people and a lot of teams in history that feel bad about themselves and they produce bad results and they don't end up anywhere. But the ones that are special are the ones who take adversity and use it for something better, to be better.
Yep.
And if this Avalanche group wants to be special and to be remembered among those groups, then that's it. They have to take something like this and they have to use it to be better, to be a better version of themselves.
Love it. It's either way. I think either way this series ends, what you're going to feel at the end of it is stronger. You hope it's the happy one, but it could be the sad one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yep.
We're going to end the show there. Thank you for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate all of y'all. Yeah, even you Blues fans. Most of you were pretty fine today. There are a couple of you walking the line a little bit, but most of you were pretty fine.
You got all I've learned is that St. Louis badly needs some people like us.
Straight up.
You guys need your own pod so bad. Kind of feeling bad for you guys.
Either way, we will be back tomorrow. Pre-game, watch along, post-game. I might have chipmunk cheeks, but I'll be there. We're going to make it happen. So be sure to tune into all of that stuff. And we will talk to y'all on the next one.